We just praise you and thank you, Lord, that we can come together today. We ask you, Lord, that as we go to your word, you may quicken our minds and our hearts, Lord, that we may be able to hear, Lord, and to receive the things, Lord, that you expressed already in your word, that may make it a part of us, that we may be able to apply it and to see the results of that in our lives. We just praise and thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right. We've been seeing different aspects, different factors that influence our prayers, influence the way our prayer is received by God, and influence the way our prayer is producing the results that we expect. But there is much more in the Word about that topic, because practically the whole Bible is full with people talking and hearing from God. And that's what prayer is all about. Prayer is a question of communicating, communing, and fellowshipping with God, and it's a two-way type of interaction. We are not talking to an idol. We are not talking to a wall. We are talking to a living God. And because he's a living God, he is going to interact with us just the same way as we interact with him. And we have to learn to do that, because it's different in a way, but not completely different the way you interact with people. But it's a relationship that we have with him. And it's the same type of relationship that goes on whenever we interact with somebody. Okay? So we saw, for example, that our attitude is important. Our attitude makes all the difference in the way we relate to God. We have to do it in spirit and in truth. And so that's another important aspect of that. Okay, we have to pray in faith, because this is the only way that we can please God. That means believing that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Okay, we have to align our thinking, our will, with God's will and thinking. So this is another aspect. By itself, that could be just a topic of many messages, many ideas that need to be, but we are not going to talk about that today. Okay. And, you know, all these different aspects that are involved in there are not isolated. They all kind of connected one with another. You cannot take one thing and disregard the other, because they all work at the same time. Now, there is a scripture that I want to start expanding today in terms of the impact it has. It is from James chapter 5, verse 16. There says, "Confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another, that you may be healed. The effective fervent prayer over the righteous man avails much." Now, this is I think is an important scripture, an important, has different important ideas in them that we are going to try to deal with and understand. Okay. First of all, I wanted to mention that, you know, there says, you know, that pray with one another that you may be healed. You know, and although it's close to another healing scripture, you know, the idea there, the word heal in Greek, is not connected to sozo or any of the other things that are similar to just physical healing. It has to do with both spiritual and physical. You know, the word there is a different one that is used in Greek. And really, the meaning is that both body and soul are going to be affected. Okay. The other thing is the word effective fervent prayer. Actually, there is only one word in Greek for the both of them. And it's energeo, which actually means, you know, strong, mighty. I mean, a powerful prayer that we speak up. So it's not something that we say, you know, just thinking about what we're going to have for lunch. Okay? It's something that we say, you know, meaning it, putting ourselves into it. Okay? So those two things. And then says, you know, the righteous man avails much. Really, the avails much also, you know, has to do as much strength, as much power. Okay? It produces results. That's the idea. So now, the key issue there, though, is righteous man. Okay? You can have all the other things, and you are not in a position of righteousness, and your prayers are not going to be effective. And we have to understand what that means, and we have to understand the possible mistakes or confusion that we may have about that. So we are going to look at different things. Hopefully we can cover the whole thing. Otherwise we'll continue next week. Anything, and I'm saying anything that damages your righteousness will damage your prayer. Okay? So let's start with the meaning of righteousness. Understanding righteousness is a very important thing, because righteousness is determines our ability to connect with God. God is a righteous God, and he is not going to connect with anything that is unrighteous. Okay. Now, even at the very beginning, when Adam and Eve sinned, God found a way around that and provided a covering for them. Doesn't go into detail in that chapter. Okay, but provided covering for them with a skin of an animal. Okay. So that implies something, but didn't explain what was going on. And really was implying already that the animal was killed to produce the covering for Adam and Eve. So there is, as you know, justice was fulfilled in a way, in a surrogate way. Really, you know, they made the mistake and the animal paid for it. So really wasn't completely fair. Okay. But nevertheless, that was a way, you know, because of the relationship that Adam had with the animal kingdom, that was possible. I'm not going to go into that because it opened up much discussion. I want to just really refer back to what happened with us. And this is a fact that Jesus had to die so that we may be righteous. Okay. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21, says, "For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we may become the righteousness of God in him." I mean, not just righteous, but the righteousness of God. Okay, this is a transference. What happened to him, he was the righteousness of God to start with. And there was no way for us to become that way. The only way is for him to take our place, and so that our unrighteousness was be put on him, and his righteousness would be put on us by faith, by our faith, by believing that what he did was sufficient to make us righteous. He paid the price. This is, there is a legal aspect in this type of covenant. This, you know, covenants, but this is, you know, there is a legal side of the whole thing. God has to be just. God has to be right. And so if there is something that has to be dealt with, it's going to be dealt with one way or another. And he found a way for us to be able to receive freedom from the original and the sins that we have by nature, by the coming from Adam, so that what Jesus did took care of that aspect in our life. Okay. Understanding that is important. You see, it's not our righteousness. It's not that we can boast about it. Because, and we have to remember that. We have to be very conscious that actually is His righteousness. And we cannot get it any other way. In fact, religion tries all the time to do it in a different way. And religious people try to do it in a different way. So, we are going to have to look at that more in detail in a minute. Let's go to Romans chapter 3, verse 21. It says, but now the righteousness of God, apart from the law, is revealed. The idea is that in the Old Testament, they were trying to be righteous following what the law was saying. And you cannot be righteous by following what the law was saying at all. Because the only thing the law is going to show you is by the time you make the mistake, but it's not going to fix what you had done wrong already. So what actually had to happen is that, our righteousness comes not because we follow the law, but because of what Jesus did. So it's without the law, apart from the law, the way it says here in Romans. See, we had to understand that when we try to deserve our righteousness, we automatically fall in error. We have to understand that our righteousness is not good enough because no matter what we do, it's never enough. But what He did is more than enough for everybody because He was without sin. So He can cover our problem. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So let's continue on this, on the verse 21, being witness of the law and on the prophets, the fact that the righteousness come to us. Okay. The following verse, 22, and the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ to all and in all believers. So that makes the difference. So the fact that it is righteousness, not our righteousness. What He has done, not what we do. And we have to be careful not to fall into that error, trying to earn our righteousness by the things we do. That does not mean or does not imply that we can go around doing whatever we like. Okay? And that's the error that today is so widely diffused with this hyper-grace theology. Okay? Because Jesus did it, doesn't matter what we do. Sorry, what you do has enormous consequences on yourself and on the ability to connect with God. And some of the things, some of the reason for that, we are going to see today. So the idea is that, we can approach God because we become righteous and we can have a relationship with Him. Okay? Because God is righteous. Okay? Now, the meaning of the word then can be interpreted in two different ways. One way is to say, okay, righteousness means that I have the right to be before God without feeling guilty. And that's true. Okay? But actually, what it means is that we are as we should be. When we are as we should be, as He made us to be, then we can approach Him because there is no influence of the negative impact of what happened with the fall. Are you following me? Okay, so you see, but the thing is, I think when we say that we are as we should be, it changes a bit the perspective that we look at the whole thing and help us in some of the decisions we make. So there are three different things concerning righteousness that hinders our faith. Or hinder our prayer and our faith. Both of them are connected together. Okay. So the first one is, for example, in Isaiah 59, verse 2. Said, but your iniquities have separated you from your God, and your sins have hidden his face from you, so that he will not hear. So here you can see that because of the iniquity in our heart, and because of the fact that our sins have separated us from him, he's not going to hear our prayer. So one of the things we have to make sure is that we have addressed or resolved the things within ourselves, in our heart, that can be an obstacle for us to be considered righteous. Okay. That is different from trying to earn. See, often people make the mistake to think that when you do that, actually you are trying to earn acceptance from God. And that's not true. I remember hearing a minister once preaching that and reading the scripture I'm going to be reading now commenting it. So I'm going to do it. Just read the first from Mark chapter 11, verse 25. See, after just finishing, say, Mark 11, 23, and then, if you pray, believe it, you receive and you shall have them, that scripture there, everybody knows. Well, after that says, and whenever you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, forgive him, that your Father in heaven may also forgive you your trespasses. But if you do not forgive him, neither will your Father in heaven forgive your trespasses. And so the comment that this minister said, that was referring to something else, not to our prayer, okay? And that actually, if that's the condition, then you are working out with your own decision if you deserve to be accepted by God or not. Are you following what I'm saying? You see, and that's nonsense. You see, the idea is the fact that when you forgive somebody else, okay, you do something that is required to do to be able to have your connection with God removed. So, and you don't do by doing something. You do it by making a decision of faith, believing that God is going to forgive you. Are you following me? You see, you had to make a decision there. You had to repent about something. Repentance is not a work of the flesh. Repentance is a decision to fix some things that we messed up before. Or to change something that we are doing that was wrong before. So we had to, repentance is never what is called dead works. The hyper grace theology says you don't need to repent once because Jesus did everything. That's nonsense. You need to repent all the time. And we had to be, repentance is not going around flagellating yourself, feeling sorry for, repentance is, that was wrong, and I'm not going to do it anymore. But just even say that is wrong is not enough. Repentance means turning around. So you're making that decision, said, no, I have nothing to do with this. Because if you are still attached to do that, nothing happened there. There is no forgiveness because you do it again. Okay, now you say, well, what about if I do it again? Well, that's what you have to do. Repent about it. Okay, you have to be consistent. I remember when I was going to university, I was an atheist then, you know, and I had this friend of mine says, well, and he was Catholic, you know, I'm in Italy, so, and you say, well, you know, doesn't matter, you know, I'm seen after, I'm going to confess myself. You know, I was atheist, and I say, how can somebody think that way? This doesn't make any sense whatsoever. I mean, you are cheating before you actually do it. All right? So the idea is that we have to understand that there has to be consistency. God, you cannot fool God by playing games. He knows your intention before you even start. You don't need to even say anything. He knows it before. You know, he knows the position. He knows the position of your heart. Praise the Lord. So, you see, the thing is, when we are aware of things hindering our relationship with God, we have to do something. Because our awareness that we have done something, no matter if you try to convince ourselves, is there to condemn us. And actually, it's our conscience that condemns us. Now, the way it is that we, you know, we do that only at the beginning. At the beginning, when we start doing something that is wrong, then our conscience is telling, no, that's wrong, because you know that it's wrong. But after a while, see, our conscience becomes seared and we, you know, produces a callus on it and doesn't have any sensitive anymore. So we don't even know it anymore. And then we go around feeling just fine. But there is the relationship with God has been severed already at the very beginning. Are you following me? So you see, that is that. You know, my experience with God operating through us is such a subtle thing. Just one slight thought that is off affects the ability of our faith to operate. Because automatically we make the wrong decision and God knows it already. So we had to really learn. We had to learn to be immediate. We had to learn to operate immediately when we miss it. And we all miss it. We just all make mistakes. And God doesn't even care about the mistakes we make, as long as we are open to be corrected. The idea is not that we have to be there paranoid about, you know, making mistakes so that we don't have the ability to do anything anymore. But it's a question of being sensitive when we do something and our conscience start acting on us and says, that's not right. That's the moment to act on it. That's the moment that we had to take action and make a decision and says, that was wrong. I repent. That I'm not going to do it next time. See, the more we do that, the more our conscience becomes sensitive. And after a while, we are not there thinking about it all the time because our conscience, we can hear our conscience speaking to us. But if we ignore it, then after a while, we don't hear anything anymore. And then we say, you know, why don't God speak to me? Well, because you haven't been listening. Are you following me? So you see, the idea is that we need to take, you know, one of the aspects, the scripture that I just finished reading, to forgive, one of the reasons why it's important, because generally, see, when we need to forgive somebody, is because they did something that affected us, they did something wrong. Okay, they hurt us, they did something that was unfair, and everything else. So, most of the people think, well, don't you know what they did to me? Do you think it's fair what they did? You see, who cares what they did if you come in bondage because of what they did? See, God wants to set you free from the bondages that they're trying to put on you. Their sins become your sin as well. So you have to get rid of that and be free. Otherwise, you want to keep the resentment, the bitterness inside yourself is going to produce results in you, is going to separate you from God, because God forgave you of all the sins you made, and you are now even wanting to forget this person. Are you following what I'm saying? So the important thing is for us to learn to be sensitive in our conscience so that we can take action. That's not doing things, legalistically. That's being right. See, God expects us to walk right. And He is ready to forgive us all the mistakes we make if we are acknowledging the mistakes we made. So the first thing is that, when there is any resentment, any iniquity, any negative, anything that is contrary to what God says inside our heart, that's going to produce a result and affect our righteousness before God and our ability to get our prayer heard by God. So that's the number one thing. It's not that God doesn't love us. It's that just we cannot connect with God. You see, He doesn't push us away. We separate ourselves from Him. He's always there with His arm open to receive us. But that's to be in the right way. He's always love us just as much. Like a father that loves his children. If you have a father and your children mess it up, you may be displeased of what they did, but you still love them. If you are a real father. Amen? All right. So, see, we had to make sure that our relationship with the Father, our relationship with God, is preserved. That's what one of the things. So the other element that we, whenever we do something or we act wrongly and our conscience condemns us, that becomes the element that separates us from God. So the second part, if you want, forgive, but also, be aware of your conscience. And that doesn't mean that you are legalistic. It means simply that you are sensing what happened at the spiritual level within you, within your heart. In Romans chapter 8, verse 1 says, there is therefore no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Okay? So the fact is there is no condemnation. People use that when you tell them sometime, that was wrong. And you say, you put condemnation on me. and that's complete nonsense. Okay? There is condemnation if you walk according to the Spirit. But if you walk according to the flesh, you are going to feel condemned when you do the wrong thing. You should feel. Because if you don't feel, that means your conscience has been seared. All right? So the idea is that that's the way God made it so that we can change. So that we can grow. We have to become sensitive to our conscience. We can see all the, people in the Old Testament and the New Testament, they weren't perfect. Far from it. David is the typical example. He blew it up pretty badly. Okay? But the Bible still said that he was, you know, his heart was after God. So evidently when, you know, what does it mean? What does it mean that our heart, you know, what's the impact of us being born again? You know, some people are born again and they end up falling in the same mistakes that they did before. And they start wondering if they were born again or not born again. The fact that you fall into the same mistakes is not an indication that you were not born again. The fact that you fall into the same mistakes means that you have a weakness and you have been trapped into it. The difference between a born-again person and a non-born-again person is how do you feel after you did it. If you are born again and you do something wrong, you feel your conscience burning inside. You feel bad and you want to do something and you want to clean it up. If you keep doing the same thing without cleaning it up, after a while you don't feel anymore, you lost it. You lost your experience. You lost your connection with God. You had to start from scratch again. Are you following me? I mean, this is so important because lots of people are confused about this. You want your prayer answered? Make sure that you're lining up with God's ways, with God's word. You know, and it's not because he doesn't love you. It's because you are going to detach yourself from him, from the ability to be able to receive from him. He loves you. You know, repent. You start from and start right there like it was before. But don't do that like my friend. They say, well, you know, I'm going to sin and after I'm going to confess myself. All right? I mean, that's really, I mean, somebody didn't, you know, atheist saw that myself at that time. He said, how can this be making any sense? How can it be somebody such an hypocrite? Okay. So, okay, the verse, you know, therefore, I'm going to read again Romans 8:1. Therefore, there is therefore no condemnation in those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. You know, the fact of being in Christ Jesus, that definition there, means that you put your trust in what he has done. But to put your trust in what he has done, you have to line up yourself with what he has done. You have to accept what he did and apply to yourself and be consistent with that. Okay? And so when you do that, the following verse says, you know, and the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made you free from the law of sin and death. So the idea is automatically, you see, there are spiritual laws in operation. Okay, any one of the law of the Spirit, the law of the Spirit and life is the law that make us able to overcome these things. If we don't, we are under the other law, which is we sin, and there is condemnation for that. All right. Now, you know, even John, in 1 John, goes in detail about that and see the impact of our position. See, this is why it's so important to understand that our knowledge, our repentance is critical. We should live in a repentant state. What do I mean with that? It's not going around feeling bad and sorry for the things we did. It's being open to change our mind whenever we realize that God's way are different than the way we think. The way we think doesn't line up with God, we have to be open to change our position. See, there is nothing heavy about it. There is nothing, you know, self putting oneself down. It's just simply a question of being open and being willing to line up ourselves with God and His way and His thinking. And that attitude is critical and is evidence of the fact that we are really in connection with God. Because if we are in connection with God, our desire has to be connected with Him. We cannot go around fooling ourselves. We cannot be hypocrites. See, the Pharisees could be hypocrites. They were doing all the things on the outside, but inside were different. We cannot have two faces, one inside and then another one outside. We have to be consistent in spirit and in truth. Okay, reading from 1 John. It says, and we say, and if we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light, what does it mean, walk in the light? Simply walk in the things we know that God expects from us. And He is, as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. We have fellowship with God. All right? Otherwise, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sins. You see, the fact that we are in that relationship, automatically, when there are things in disagreement with what the position, what Jesus did, with the fact that we cannot really appropriate Jesus, of the operation of Jesus' blood on our life, is paying for our mistakes. If we want to stake in our mistakes, He cannot pray for our mistakes. Are you still there? Okay, we had to be in a position in which we accept what He did in our place. Okay, that's already a big thing because He paid for it. We have done nothing about it. We made the mistake. So, we acknowledge that He could go through that. And the only thing, because we have faith in what He has done. Otherwise, we cannot have faith in what He has done. Are you still following me? All right. So, what happens there, you see, in that relationship, in that interaction between us and what's going on, you know, continuously in our conscience. We cannot forget our conscience. Because of what's going on continuously in our conscience, then the blood of Jesus won't cleanse us from all iniquity. You see the way it works? You see, you understand this scripture? You see, that's the cleansing that takes place. That's the position that we keep before God. And we remain in fellowship with Him because there are no things separating us. We don't allow anything to separate us from God. That doesn't mean that we cannot be tricked and fall into a mistake. It means simply that when we realize that, we say, no, no way, I don't like this. This is uncomfortable. This is wrong. I don't want this in my life. See, that's the cleansing, the power of Jesus' blood operating in us. Hallelujah. This is the way we are righteous, and that's the way we stay righteous. You know, I'm going to finish in just time is okay. Yeah. We just got a couple of more scriptures here. In Hebrews chapter 9, verse 14, says how much, you know, before I was talking about the sacrifice that were done in the Old Testament, of bull and animals to pay for our sins. And, you know, verse 14, it says, this is the new covenant that's established between us and God. How much more shall the blood of Christ, rather than the blood of animals, you know, who through the eternal Spirit, to the Holy Spirit, offered Himself without spot. So you see, there are two things there. The animals have to be without spot to be offered in your place. But this is, you know, this is more. You know, this is a, they were not willing to be killed. But Jesus willingly offered himself, okay, by the direction of the Holy Spirit. And we were also without spot because he was sinless. So, without spot, you know, offered himself to God. Cleanse your conscience from dead works. You see, from cleanse your conscience. You see, your conscience is going to be cleansed. You know, the dead works are, there are two types of dead works. Dead works is doing the wrong thing. But dead works is also trying to earn our forgiveness through the things we do, instead of doing it by trusting in Jesus. So there are two types of dead works. Okay, we have to deal with all of them. You know, we cannot approach God according to the things we have done. God, you know, I've been really good this week. Who cares? This is for your benefit, not for his benefit. Okay, the idea is that you know, the benefit of walking right is yours. Because you get all the blessing and the connection with God and all the ability for God to listen to you and to respond to your prayer. It's not that you do a favor to God. Praise the Lord. So therefore, you know, we can access with boldness, enter the Holy of Holies by the blood of Jesus. See, this is what gives us the ability to do things in a way that was not possible before. Praise the Lord. Well, you know, I could say much more, but I had to close for today. We'll see what we do next week. You get anything today? See, the idea of really having a conscience, a sensitive conscience, is so important. Because without that, we cannot walk with God. Our prayers are not going to be effective. Okay, let's close in prayer. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Well, let's make a confession here. It's a good place to do something. Amen. Praise you, Lord. Heavenly Father. Thank you for sending Jesus to pay for our sins, our mistakes, and everything, Lord, that we do does not line up with your word. Help us to remain sensitive to your Holy Spirit communicating to us your truth, your will, your desires, what pleases you, so that we can be in Christ, following you, receiving your blessings, being touched by the power of the Holy Spirit in our body, our mind, in our heart, and be transformed in the people you want us to be. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.